This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
That is, praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver, the cherisher, the sustainer of the world. We seek him for assistance. We ask him for forgiveness. We put our complete trust in him, and we do not depart from the faith. And I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Praise be to Allah, who revealed the Quran as guidance for all times, for this generation and generations to come. And we know the first of the believers were those companions of the Prophet. May Allah be pleased with them, peace and blessings upon the Prophet, who fought hard and suffered much in the world so that the religion would be here for us today. Allah bless them to be the ones to carry the burden of establishing the religion in the darkest period of the world, that period of Jahiliyyah, period of gross ignorance, when people had lost all sense of direction and had lost all respect for what Allah intended for his creation. And it took Almighty God, who revives the dead and give guidance, it took him to reveal the Quran to his messenger that he created and chose for the occasion, Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave him the message, and from him the struggle began. It was a difficult struggle. It was not easy. It was a very difficult struggle. Immediately, his enemies began to collect their strength, collect their forces, to stamp out what he was beginning to erect or build in that part of the world to last for all times. That is the Ummah of Al-Islam, Ummatul Islamiyyah. He had set out with the guidance of God to pronounce the word of God and gather good people, God-fearing people, people who want a better life, who want to please their Lord, to gather them together so that they would form a community that would be a lasting community, a community to last for as long as the world stands. And we know it was not easy. It was not easy. For as soon as the Prophet began preaching, there was the opposition. For a while, they listened to him and tried to laugh him off the planet, play his message cheap, ridicule him. Hey, who is this madman? What is his jokes? Where he comes from with his strange teachings about something will be after death, when we are bones and dust in the ground, that we are going to be alive again. So they laughed and ridiculed, made mockery of the message of the messenger, peace be upon him. But he withstood it because Allah was with him, and he was the most excellent of God's creation. He withstood it and attracted to him friends. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the Caliph, may God be pleased with him, the first Caliph. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he attracted him and his own relatives, his cousin Ali, may God be pleased with him. And his wife was the first to recognize that God had chosen him for the mission. In her curiosity, she consulted her uncle or cousin, who was an old man, I believe it was his uncle. She consulted him, and he was a man who had for a long time been studying the scriptures, especially the New Testament, the Gospel. And he told her that this man, this Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the one that our God promised in the scripture. So from that time on, it was a very difficult struggle for him. Only a very few. This old man, he said, I wish that I was young so that I could help him, because he knew the way would be very difficult. He said that the way will be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult for him for a while. He said, I wish I could be with him to help him. But the old man passed thereafter, soon thereafter. But the struggle had to be initiated and had to be wedged so that the word would be established in the land as Allah intended. And many of his friends, his companions, who came to him out of love for the word and out of love for him, because they knew he was the most excellent person, the best among them. They soon found themselves in a situation where they had to pledge their life, because that's how serious it was. They pledged their life to the cause of God. And many lost their lives in battle or from a sneak attack. They lost their lives. But Allah told Prophet Muhammad that no one who does an act of good will lose it. That whatever act of good you do, it shall be returned to you in the form of reward. So if a Muslim loses his physical life to please Allah, he doesn't think that he lost anything. That's not a loss. That's a gain. So if it is necessary, the Muslim is prepared to put his physical life in danger. That's nature. Nature. God gave us this nature. To put our physical life in danger for greater things. For greater things, especially for the good of the whole. And if they hadn't put their physical life in danger for the good of the lasting ummah, where would it be today? So God has always some good creatures that will shoulder the responsibility. Praise be to Allah. And we know that the ones who migrated with him and those who received them, the muhajirs who migrated with him and the ansars who received him in Medina, welcomed the Prophet and his small group of following. They were people of most excellent type. They were not the ordinary people. Prophet Muhammad did not have going with him from Mecca wine drinkers, gamblers, thieves. No. The Alibaba and 40 Thieves is in New York. Not in the history of Prophet Muhammad. Yes. So praise be to Allah, we know the most excellent of the citizens walked with the Prophet. They weren't people all educated, no. Illiteracy was very high. Only a few could read. But they were sincere, and they were rational-minded. They were very intelligent people. They weren't scholars. Like today, public education is widespread, and everyone is expected to know how to read. But in those days, that was not the case. That was a time of Jahiliyyah. Time of Jahiliyyah. And there was hardly anyone knowing how to read, unless he was just a favorite person. Best person to be in the company of scholars or in the company of those who knew how to read. But the great majority of the people couldn't read. And Prophet Muhammad was one of them. He was one of them. He could not read. And God blessed him with the guidance and with the knowledge and educated him. Allah educated him. He was not before educated. Allah tells us that in the Quran. The Prophet was not before having knowledge. He had no knowledge. He had no books. He had no knowledge of books. He was not one to read books before the coming of the Quran. And it was the message of God that opened his eyes to the way and brought about the great reform and the great rising of wisdom and sciences that sparked the light for the world. And as a result, we had the Renaissance and the Enlightenment that came from the old world to America and became very scientific here in America. A glorious time, a glorious history. Praise be to Allah. And as a result of that, when you study science now, you run into many Arabic terms. Not that the Arabs had that ability. The religion brought out that ability in not only Arabs, but in all the races that embraced that religion at that time. Praise be to Allah. But we know some of them were Persian. Some of them were other races. They weren't all Arabs. And they were raised and ranked high as scientists because they embraced that religion, al-Islam. Praise be to Allah. So it is wonderful. But the point is, it was not easy. And it's not easy today. Not in the East, nor in the West. We are in the West. We are in America. And it is not easy to propagate the religion and to live this religion in the West. If you would go to the East, where the religion is established, where it was established, and still lives in name and in the hearts of many believers over there, you will find that it's hard for you to practice your religion there in the public life. Yes, very difficult. But these difficult times come. And the Quran, the light of the Quran, is stronger than the world. So Allah says that He has revealed the religion that it should become the established religion. More prevalent than all the religions. Though the idol worshippers detest that, dislike it. It shall be established over their opposition, in spite of their opposition. And praise be to Allah, we see that. We see that. It's weak in most of the Muslim world, in most of the Muslim society. It's weak. The religion is not practiced strongly. It's just weakly embraced by most of the Muslims of the world. But in this period of moral death, social disruption, and moral death, still the Muslim adherent is the better and the stronger. Yes. Look what has happened to the other communities. Look how they have let their values slip from their hands and have let their social life go to pot. So when you compare the state of the Western world and other societies with that of the Islamic society, still we are the stronger. Praise be to Allah. And that's what we must realize. But we don't want to tolerate this weakness on our part. We want the strong to come forward. And inshallah, the strong are coming forward. It was the strong who joined Prophet Muhammad. The strong is what made it possible for the Prophet to carry that great weight forward in the world. The strong. Omar Ibn Khattab was no weak man. He was a strong man. Again, one of the caliphs of al-Islam. May Allah be pleased with him. Men like Omar, men like Abu Bakr. We think of Abu Bakr sometimes, we don't think of him as a strong man. But he had tremendous strength. At a time when most of the community was just panic almost. It was Abu Bakr who told them, reminded them of what God says in the Quran. That the Prophet dies, he must die. He's mortal man, he has to die. But Allah lives and does not die. Praise be to Allah. So it was that model, that modest man. He was a modest man. Abu Bakr, a modest man. It was that modest man who showed extraordinary strength in the moment of need. And he became the first caliph, the first ruler, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may God be pleased with the companions. Wonderful, wonderful history. If we read the glory of the Islamic Ummah in its early days and rising, you can't help but be touched, thrilled, encouraged. You can't read that history and not be moved. No. Where did the strength come from? From the Quran, from the Word of God. And it hasn't gone and hasn't changed. It's still with us, the Quran. Just as it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, is with us now, the Quran. All of that possibility came out of Quran. If we devote ourselves to the study of the Quran, the love and study of the Quran, and if we follow the sunnah of the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, we will realize those great days again. They come and go. For the life of man on earth is like the season. It's summer, it's fall, it's winter, but it's going to be spring again. Yes, yes. So don't be disheartened. Don't let your faith get weak because you don't see Muslims excelling or Muslims over the world. No, that's not our aim. Our aim is not to be over the world. Our aim is to be right with Allah. That's our aim. Our aim is to please Allah, not to be on top of the world, not to be over the world. Allah said he will give that to the whomsoever he chooses to give it to. I'm talking about dominance on this earth. Says he will give dominance to whomsoever he chooses to give it to. We are not to aspire for dominance over the world. We're not to aspire for global rule of this planet. That's not supposed to be the desire in the heart of any Muslim. Allah says in that ideal life, he has preserved it for those who desire not uluwan, dominance, and desire not fasada, corruption. These two things are mentioned together by Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified and praised and high as he, above all things. They are put together, dominance and corruption. Why? Because whoever wants dominance must use corruption. Yes, you can't dominate the people without using corruption. So this is not for the Muslim. It is not for the Muslim. Allah will make our way prevalent, no matter who's ruling the political scene. The West, they claim material dominance. They claim political dominance. But who is the healthiest on this planet right now? It's not the Westerners, it's the Muslims. Yes. So if someone has the material rod in his hand, or the political rod in his hand, but he has lost his life, I don't envy him. I don't envy him. He doesn't have what I want. Praise be to Allah. Life is more precious than the power of the beast. And that's all power is. It's a beast. If the human essence, the human contents are gone, the human values are gone, then if you have material power or political power, you're no more than a lion or a wild beast with power. And we know that man, he got the kingdom from the wild beast. Wild beast just had it temporarily. Praise be to Allah. So don't worry, it's just a new situation, another situation. Don't worry, the kingdom comes to the human being in time, inshallah, soon. Praise be to Allah. So dear beloved Muslims, let us not be weak-hearted. We have the best. Be strong-hearted. Don't let the situation gloom outside, discourage you. This strength you used to come out here, you couldn't have made it out here if you had followed your own mind. You left your mind behind, and you followed right. It was righteousness that brought you here, not your own mind. Your own mind is nothing but a computer to tabulate information, to register information. And when your heart is not strong, that computer doesn't work right. it doesn't tabulate the figures rightly, you see? So if you trust it in times like this, you will go wrong most of the time. So I don't trust it either. I just woke up and today is Jummah. I knew yesterday.
in the day Juma. I don't sit down and at the desk and do mathematics to figure out what I'm supposed to do. Today is Juma. The day is Juma. Allah says when the Juma prayer is called, come to Juma. And leave off business and traffic. So, it is the obedience to God. It was our righteousness that brought us here, in spite of below zero temperatures. Very difficult to get out of here. It looked like Allah always blessed me with a car that starts up. Yes, praise be to Allah. I used to have an old Chevy, and others around me, they had bigger and finer cars. And I found that my old Chevy didn't stop. But they were using batteries and getting charges, and sometimes I was helping them get started. Yeah. It's a blessing. It's a sign. Believe me, it's a sign. That when you give yourself solely to Allah's purpose, He may throw you in difficulty occasionally, but you're going to see that He's with you. You're going to know that He's with you. Praise be to Allah. So, dear beloved Muslims, in the face of hard times and struggles, we don't get weak or faint-hearted. But as the scriptures say, gird up your loins. Collect your strength. That's what it means. Collect your strength for battle when times get difficult. Praise be to Allah. So we seek Allah always and seek His pleasure above everything else. And we pray, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahima wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أيها المسلمون. Dear beloved Muslims, Allah Most High revealed the Quran as guidance and as a completion for the human family on this earth. The Messenger of God in the Quran, He's called Rahmatan lil Alameen, a mercy to all the world. And the Quran is called also a blessing to all the world. And a reminder. A reminder to all the world. So while this religion addressed Muslims, because we are the ones, we are the converts to it, it addressed us and tells us our responsibility. But we have to be careful to not to think that this religion is a benefit only to Muslims. No, this religion was revealed to be a benefit to all the world and to be a reminder to all the world. To remind the world when it goes wrong. And believe me, France studies the Quran. England studies the Quran. Washington, D.C. studies the Quran. Russia studies the Quran. Moscow studies the Quran. Show me any great nation on this earth. They study the Quran. They study the Quran and they extract from it its precious tools, its precious instruments, and they apply them for their own good. Don't you know the world was in darkness along with the Arabians? You think the Arabians were the only ones in darkness? During that period called Jahiliyyah, the whole world was in darkness. Europe was in darkness. Africa was in darkness. Asia was in darkness. The whole world was in darkness, right along with Arabia. And it was the Quran that shook the world. Shook it. And woke it up. With its clear, rational explanations for the failures of man. Oh, yes. And set man back on a rational course. The Quran did this. So let us not forget that the Quran didn't just do it for the Arabs or for the Muslims that embraced it. It also liberated non-Muslims. Liberated them from their rational stupor. And this is a fact of history. It brings total liberation to the believer that embraced it wholly. But it helps everybody in part. As the grace of God comes to some, but everybody benefits in part. Is that not a fact? Oh, yes. Praise be to Allah. But I thank Allah that I am one who accepted this religion. I was raised to love Allah. That is God. I was raised to love Allah and love righteousness and give my support to righteousness and deny my support to wickedness. That's how I was raised. And I thank God that I have accepted this religion. The Quran, all of it. The Prophet, all of him. Praise be to Allah.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.